Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying the ghost stories here on this show, be sure to check out our true crime podcast called True Crime Today. Search it wherever you download podcasts. Myself, Carol Hughes, Stacy Cole, all discuss the latest in many true crime stories, dark, disturbing, and sometimes just plain crazy. Check it out, True Crime Today. Search and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Here's a preview of one of this week's episodes of True Crime Today. On True Crime Today, an Illinois teen in trouble after he allegedly shot a man during a dispute over a Wi-Fi password. A man in Georgia accused of killing his fiance after a history of beating other women. And a woman in Colorado allegedly duct taped, choked, and threatened her Tinder date before ordering delivery.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
Say he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today starts now.
That indeed it does. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of our program. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of True Crime Today. What's going on?
Hey, friend. So remember last week when we were talking about Alex Jones and we, and I can't remember for the life of me, but we both kind of did a little bit of a wager on how much we thought the verdict would be.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I can't remember what I thought.
I won.
Because I can't remember. Do you remember what we guessed?
I'm pretty sure you were like around 500 and I said 700-ish.
I was thinking I was like a half a million.
I knew I was
a half a billion, 500 million. Yeah.
I knew I was above you on my wager. And you're like, I don't think it's going quite that far. So it went further than either of us ever predicted.
It was almost $1 billion. Billion. But when you add in the $45 million that was ruled against him in Texas, he's at $1 billion.
There's more to come, too. There's more compensatory damages.
Exactly.
So it's going to go above a billion.
$1 billion is where he's at right now.
How does that even work at that point? I mean, if the person can't repay that, I mean, what is it like? Do you work on a payment plan of like, because somebody's got to like live on something. I know there's like there's a minimum they can't take from you. Yeah.
But, so this article that I was reading, it says, and it is historically high. Like, I think a lot of people were shocked. But when you look at the damage he did and continued to do and the harassment these poor people, I mean, they lost children. Isn't that horrific enough?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine what it would be like to lose a child. Then you lose a child and then you have people desecrating or threatening to desecrate their graves or urinate. Well, one child, they urinated on the child's grave.
Yeah. I mean, it's
and,
just,
you know, just horrific things.
Utterly disgusting.
Rather than trying to be able, you never heal from that, but you kind of figure out how to live life when you go through extreme grief like that.
Yeah.
And these people can't do that, you know, because it's just constantly standing up and how horrific to be like, no, I really, my child is really dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trying to convince people you don't even know.
Yeah.
That's just the sickest thing. But I was reading this, lawyer said, he was a former federal prosecutor and he said he may be forced to live a subsistence type of life. He's always going to be watched. He's always going to be hounded and he's not going to, I believe, be able to ultimately escape the ramifications of his wrongful acts. So he thinks Alex Jones will be watched and they'll try to take everything they can from him.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I don't know how it's all set up. You have two things here. You have a business entity, I'm assuming, and you also have him as liable as a human being. I'm assuming they sued both. I'm hoping the judgment is against both, because that means then a judgment can be levied against both and empty both. If it's just against him.
So his media company filed for bankruptcy.
Okay. But bankruptcy actually does not exclude you from civil judgments. Yeah. So that doesn't protect him at all.
And I don't get how he filed for bankruptcy, because this says that his companies today are worth $135 million to $275
million. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you're bankrupt.
I don't know if it's assuming that they're assuming that they're going to lose all the money through this, but you can't, it doesn't defend you. That's the thing. It doesn't protect you from this judgment. It could protect you from potentially other ones, but not this.
Yeah. Jones's company filed for bankruptcy. It's not given that those proceedings would affect the final award. When you're found to have committed an intentional wrongful act, any award based on that intentional wrongful act is typically not dischargeable in a bankruptcy filing. So yeah, he'll be responsible. Now, they can't possibly get $1 billion out of him.
No,
but certainly change his life.
It'll just be interesting to see how it does fall upon him. How many appeals are allowed in this case? This is not over. This is going to go on for years. And he's going to probably keep appealing it to avoid paying it. Ultimately, I think it'll just get down to some place where you appealed so much, there's nothing more you can do. You are owing this. And then you're going to see him hanging from a shower rack in a Motel 6. That's how I'm guessing it's going to end.
The thing is with him, though, too, is all those appeals are a lot of money. You know, I had to hire a lawyer for something when I got fired. Mm-hmm. And so I hired a lawyer to look over the settlement package. And just to answer an email.
Oh, yeah, it's insane.
Cost me, I can't remember how much it was, but I'm like, damn, I really don't want to spend the money, but I really need to ask her a question. And so I had to spend the money.
Yeah.
And she's just a regular old lawyer, not like the kind he's getting. Those people, I can't even imagine how much they're charging.
He's not going to have the money for them anymore. And I'm imagining they're all going to jump ship about now, because they know they're not going to get paid. And it's no longer worth it. So there'll be probably some people that will try and get publicity out of it, and you'll get some very amateur Johnny Cochran style lawyers that are nowhere near the skill level of Johnny Cochran, but they want to be, or Robert, what's the other one from OJ. He speaks for LegalZoom now. I think he died actually recently.
Oh yeah.
I want to say De Niro, but I know it's not De Niro. It's not Durst either. It'll be stuff like that. People just trying to get a headline, but it's going to be about as effective as the guy who chose to represent R. Kelly. It's like, yes, you're the attorney there. Oh, yes, you'll be taken very seriously for the rest of your life. I mean, it'll be people making bad choices, desperate to get attention, and it'll end up ruining them. They'll get a little attention in the moment, but they'll end up being basically a Saul Goodman. Like from a Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul at the end of the day. And like I said,
there was that one lawyer I can't remember. And Stormy Daniels. Remember when she accused Donald?
Oh, yeah. The bald guy that turned out to be a fraud.
I don't remember what she, I think she just accused him of having sex with her or something. I don't remember. Anyway, but there was that Michael, somebody who represented her.
Yeah.
He ended up, and then he was on all the talk shows and all. Mm-hmm. Every time you turn around, you see him. And then he ended up, like, people came after him. Like, he had done some pretty shady shit.
Yeah. I mean, he knew how to work.
So
he was a slick.
You might get your 5 minutes of fame, but
yeah,
start looking into you then.
He was a slick son of a bitch. And you could tell, there was a part of him where it's like, he spoke well on some things. But you're like, yeah, he's kind of slimy, though. Like, I don't like him.
Michael Avenatti.
Yeah, Michael
Avenatti.
Something
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I agreed with him on a lot of points, but there was just like, but it's coming from a real slimy person, so it's hard to know.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it all went off the tracks for him.
He was like talking about a presidential run and everything.
Yeah. Well, that ain't happening.
No.
But I was just really surprised when I texted you immediately. I'm like, yeah. Holy shit.
I know.
I sent the article about Alex Jones because I was thinking it would be $500,000. I didn't think almost $1 billion.
Alex Jones' corpse is coming to a Motel 6 near you. It's just a matter of where his car breaks down and he wanders. And wherever that is.
Well, I could see him just having a mental breakdown because he's kind of, you know, he's overweight. He's, you know, he just doesn't.
He's already kind of wound up a little bit on the edge. Yeah.
I could just see him losing it.
I don't know how you wouldn't.
He's going to have a heart attack or something.
Honestly, I don't know how you wouldn't if you were him. I mean, if you put yourself in his shoes for a moment and say, even if you, you know, realize that was stupid, I should have never fucking said that, but you said it and you can't take it back. And because he's been taking it back ever since he said it. Like trying to spin it this way and spin it that way. But he fucking said it.
Yeah, but then he goes outside of the courthouse and he says horrible shit.
Exactly. It's like, you keep doing this shit. You keep digging your grave, you moron. But some people, that seems to be their plight in life. It's how can I self-destruct and how can I make this as just nuclear as I possibly can? And that's how some people go out like this. It's sad. That's why you can't build a life on hate. You can't build an industry on something that you just are completely angry about. Here we are talking about this on a true crime podcast. But I like to talk about these things more so as like a lesson. Learn from it. Learn what these people have gone through and be aware. But he's just vile and angry against every fucking thing. And sometimes it's just ludicrous what he's angry at. Does he have some points sometimes? Yeah, he does. But anybody by random chance would. It doesn't mean all of their ideas are good or anything of that nature. And he obviously is, I think he's a sick human being who will do anything for attention. And I think he saw a way of making a ton of attention about Sandy Hook and saying that it was crisis actors and all that sort of bullshit because he knew it would get the biggest awe and a big, you know, ratings and attention to him. And you say shit like that, it comes with consequences. It comes with consequences when you do shit like that.
Because I agree with you about the attention stuff, but what it got him was a whole bunch of listeners that were buying all his shit.
Well, exactly.
So they're buying all those supplements and stuff. Yeah. So he was making a lot of money off of lying about these people and a lot of other things. But, you know, he wasn't, you know, you can have your show and talk whatever shit you want to talk. But when it comes to something like that, that turns like, it's the mob of people against these poor innocent victims.
They didn't get him on racketeering charges, which they probably could have. They got him on the civil charges of basically inciting, you know, this riot-like atmosphere with these crazy people. If he gets somehow off on this, I would venture to guess that they'll go after him for racketeering. Similar to how Jim Baker went down and how Jim Baker will probably go down again at some point in time. Which I'm looking forward to watching with a little bit of popcorn and seeing that little he is a little crazy Disneyland going over in Branson with the rubes that follow him. And it's a fucking cult. There's no other way to look at this shit. If you believe some of this shit, you're in a cult. I'm sorry. You just are. And I'm all about listening to conspiracy theories and logically looking at them. But he just purposely inflicted damage on suffering people for his own gain. And that's the thing. So, new story here. An Illinois teen is in trouble after he allegedly shot a man during a dispute over the Wi-Fi password. That sort of shit happens. Earlier this month, a 19-year-old man arrested charges attempted murder after he allegedly shot someone during an argument over the victim's refusal to reveal his Wi-Fi password. On September, that's why you don't name your Wi-Fi password like anything in correlation with your house. So if someone asks you for it, you're like, that's not me. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Especially in an apartment.
Which makes me laugh out loud. Now my Wi-Fi name, but not my password. Like, you wouldn't know my password. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just funny sometimes when you're driving around a neighborhood or you go someplace and you see all the networks and it's like something's named really funny.
Mm-hmm.
That always makes me laugh. So like mine is Go Cubs Go. Like, mm-hmm. I think anybody in the neighborhood would be like, oh, as Carol's.
I think if I had a...
I'm not going to give you my password or I might have to kill you, but at least you could... You see, that's mine.
The thing is, I just changed all my Wi-Fi up and I think back on it now, like, what could I have named it? Because it does go out there a little ways. And especially... Yeah,
because there was one in my old neighborhood that said white van across the street, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
If I could go back and do it again in an apartment... Or a very populated area where there's a lot of houses right next to me, I think I do something like FBI Predator Patrol or something like that. Child Predator Patrol. And, you know, so it's like anybody in that area, like you're going to get somebody that's going to be like, what the fuck? You know, and I would love to rename it like that just to fuck with people.
I love that white van across the street. That's
good. That's very good. Earlier this month, a 19-year-old man arrested on charges of attempted murder after he allegedly shot someone during an argument. On September 30th at 1:51 p.m., officers from the Champaign Police Department, this is in Illinois, responded to a shooting call and found a 22-year-old male with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. As stated in a statement, the victim was taken to a local hospital by paramedics from the Champaign Fire Department. In a condition that's currently stable. The Champaign Police Department issued a press release a little while back announcing the arrest of the 19-year-old Quan Walls for aggravated discharge of a firearm. According to a police report, the two men got into an argument and then Walls produced a firearm, shooting the victim in the leg before fleeing the scene. The victim, who is not identified by police, was released from the hospital, according to reports from Champaign. The News Gazette reports that Walls and the victim got into an altercation after the latter refused to reveal his Wi-Fi password. When things got heated, Walls allegedly pulled out a gun and shot the victim. After being shot in the left leg, the victim allegedly went back inside his apartment where Walls allegedly opened fire, striking him in the right thigh. According to records, Champaign County Jail Walls' bond was set at $250,000. Why wouldn't this be more like attempted murder, at least second-degree murder? I mean, you're opening fire at someone's house. You already shot the guy once. He goes inside and you just fucking blaze it up. I think that's murder, or if not murder one, quite honestly.
And I guess because it was you were so wrapped up in the heat of the moment, so angry about not getting a password.
Who fucking cares?
That,
you did it.
I don't know that. And like... Would he have his laptop with him or something? Because why not just use some data? And just, why do you need the password so bad?
I think after you get shot in the leg, you're like hang on, man. I'm going to get it for you right now. Hang on. I got it.
It's like, fine. I'll give you the damn password.
And then you come out,
just
you're like,
call 911.
You come back out of the apartment like, okay, I got your password. He's plow him down.
And you're like, damn, I have got to find some new people to hang out with.
Yeah.
These people are no good.
When your friends are like that, yeah.
When your friends are like that, you got to rethink some shit. But it's so bizarre and outlandish. I can't even imagine getting mad. Like, I don't even go to anybody's house and ask for their password unless I'm
go to any neighbor.
And I got my laptop. Hey, I have unlimited data.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need it for my phone.
Yeah.
And most people don't carry. I can't imagine what's that guy getting.
Yeah.
Doing on his laptop. Would he be like doing his accounting homework and he needs to.
Yeah.
That is just so bizarre that you could get that angry.
I know.
Then if you're that angry, if you're not better friends with somebody and they don't give you their password, then maybe you go, you know what? I thought we were better friends in this. Goodbye. I'm never talking to you again.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe that's how you would have ended that.
You think?
Shooting somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope that at some point, the shooter was like, I'm making some bad decisions.
There's so many people that have their compass so fucked up and their way of reasoning with something or their way of dealing with something is so out there that it's just like, how?
how did you get there? And you'll never figure it out. They can't even explain it. And if you get him in a corner.
But thank God the guy's not dead.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
I mean, that poor person could be dead.
Man in Georgia accused of killing his fiance after a history of beating other women. So here's a great lesson in how our system utterly sucks and why sometimes you can't, not sometimes, all the time, you cannot rely on a restraining order. You cannot rely on anything like that, especially young women. If you think that that has any sort of power over crazy fucking people, it does not. So if the crazy person knows where you live and they keep following you, the only thing you can really do is relocate. It's not safe. It's not fair, I should say. But if you'd like to not end up dead, that's how our system works. Unfortunately, they only go after the guy after he goes after you physically. That's only in America. 44-year-old man had been taken into custody and charged with murdering his 40-year-old fiance. The Dalton Police Department stated in a press release that on September 29th at around 8:30 a.m., officers were dispatched to a house on Lindell Street in response to a report of an unresponsive woman. Rachel Schaefer was found at the scene by authorities, allegedly injured in some way. The authorities reported that she was taken to the hospital. Apparently, Schaefer's injuries were attributed to a beating by medical professionals. The police said that Schaefer's roommate, Justin Pippen, was present and had dialed 911. Police say Schaefer passed away on Monday, October 3rd, 4 days after she was taken to the hospital for treatment of her wounds. Police found evidence that led them to suspect Pippen in Schaefer's assault. Records show that Pippen was arrested for murder, aggravated assault, aggravated battery, and aggressive sexual battery and booked into the Whitfield County Jail. According to WRCB, Pittman was arrested for simple battery against his fiance, Schaefer, in July. But they stayed together because he loves her. When you're in those abusive situations, man, though, you can't. It's hard to see the other side. It's hard to see the other side.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Those people are really good at manipulating.
Yeah.
And so they can do something horrible to you and you're like, that's it, that's enough. And then they come back and they give you that look and I'm really, really sorry. Or they could threaten you. I mean, it could go the other way too.
You don't know sometimes. And you could almost be fearful that if you don't go along with what the fuck they're doing after that,
they'll kill you.
They'll kill you. Yes. It's scary shit. Because they're fucking crazy.
I mean, that's just sad. And, you know, and I guess if, well, in that case, there was a restraining order, but that's just a piece of paper. It's not like there's somebody watching your house.
Since when does a piece of paper stop crazy? If common sense didn't stop crazy, if just common decency didn't stop crazy, why the fuck do you think that a piece of paper would stop crazy? It doesn't. It does nothing. The only thing that stops crazy is getting crazy out of society. But we just, until he does it. And here we go, another dead person.
But you hear about those stories all the time. Oh, and even if you were to get out, you know, it like, that's just scary. Like, you know, you have nothing usually in a situation like that because they've met your abuser, make sure that you don't have access to all the money. You might not get the car. You know, your life is slowly taken from you. You don't have contact with friends or family anymore.
Yeah, they do all that shit.
They slowly isolate you. So then when you do get up enough nerve to try to get away, you know, you've got to have a serious plan and it's got to happen flawlessly and fast. And usually, and I almost said women, but it's men and women. You're so beat down and you're so, you know, you don't even believe in yourself anymore. And you, this is all you're worth. And it's just sad that just every time I hear stories like that, it breaks my heart.
The best thing that was said to me was you have to do what is best for your child. And it's like, and if you operate on that apparatus, you're good. It like, okay, yeah, sure. Okay. Follow this. Like, cool. Like, almost gives you strength sometimes to be like, fuck you. Like, no. We're not doing this anymore because this affects her too. And I'm not standing up for your bullshit. And, you know, you do it. And you have to. And I would even say, like, even if you didn't have a child and you were in that sort of situation, operate like you are standing up for the little version of you who feels abused by this predator. Stand up for that person now because you're the adult. And do what you can to get the fuck
away.
But
I think, you know, so often you don't even think you're worth it.
You don't.
But
you don't.
Yeah. In your situation, your daughter gave you that motivation mm-hmm. to stand up.
Yeah.
And you had to do it.
Yeah.
And it was a good idea.
No. Woman in Colorado allegedly duct tape choked and threatened her Tinder date before ordering delivery. Now, I was on the dating market for a little while the other year, but I can't say I had any dates quite like this. A 22-year-old woman arrested she allegedly cut, choked, and threatened to kill a Tinder date who came to her house. Number one, I didn't ever do the, like, let's go to your house for the first date. It amazes me that young people who are supposedly, you know, so, you know, safe about this and safe about that, they show up at each other's houses on, like, first occasions, and they just want to fuck. And then it's like they're surprised when something goes horribly, horribly wrong. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Two officers from Colorado Springs Police Department were dispatched at 2504 East Cache La Prode Street at 5:43 p.m. on September 28th, in response to an unknown call for service, as stated in the probable cause affidavit. Dispatch reportedly informed officers of an open line in which a voice could be heard saying, "Because you cut me, you're going to kill me." Officers arrived to find a naked man in the parking lot who had cut his arm and was bleeding profusely. It was reported that he was retreating from suspect Lauren Dooley, who was also covered in blood. Dooley was arrested by police, but she refused to cooperate when she was read her Miranda rights. And I got to say, Dooley, it looks like the average girl you'd come across on walking through Walmart or something, quite honestly. Not like something I've been like raising an eyebrow to going, look out for that bitch. The victim, whose name was blacked out of the affidavit, reportedly told police he met Dooley on the dating app Tinder and had agreed to meet at her apartment. After chatting for a while, she allegedly gave him oral sex. Dooley is accused of duct taping his hands and ankles together. While he agreed at first, he later found it odd. Dooley duct taped his limbs and then produced a kitchen knife and demanded he get into her bedroom. The victim no longer consented to stay at the residence, according to the reports. Victim went on to her bedroom out of fear for her safety. We're kind of getting Dahmer-ish here. Dooley allegedly stabbed him in the shoulder there. She then applied direct pressure to the victim's throat for approximately 20 seconds with both hands, according to the accusation, after only to procure a belt. She allegedly spent 20 seconds buckling it around his neck. Some like it rough. The victim was reportedly having trouble breathing, so he checked his pulse after securing the belt around him. The victim apparently told Dooley to take a bath after he became angry at her for bleeding all over her bed. Dooley allegedly ordered food from DoorDash while the victim waited in the tub. According to the accusations, she threatened the victim, "If you scream or say anything, I'll kill you." After Dooley finished eating, she reportedly went back to bed. After Dooley fell asleep, he used a knife she allegedly used to free himself. The victim was trying to retrieve some of his belongings when he accidentally woke the sleeping hostess by crashing into a table. To get assistance, he reportedly ran to the parking lot. Reports say that police discovered a knife next to Dooley's bed, along with several blood-soaked rags and blood all over the bathtub in Dooley's apartment. She's been charged with kidnapping in the second degree, two counts of assault with second degree menacing, false imprisonment, and was arrested and booked into the El Paso County Jail. Tinder, a new way to meet people. I just, yeah. I tried that app, never met anybody on it.
It's almost like she had to have been on something.
Well,
like it's all of it's so bizarre.
That's what you'd hope for, but unfortunately that was not mentioned in the story, so I can't guarantee that drugs were involved. Other than just an evil, sick, fucked up human being.
That's just...
I think, I don't know.
That one's crazy.
They live amongst us. They're not on drugs. They're not even necessarily crazy.
Just crazy.
They're just evil. They know what they're doing. They're able to do it well. And if we catch them, we catch them. If not, they just keep on doing it. Angela Lansbury returns this fall. In a scene like you've never seen before. Murder, She Wrote, from the grave. Angela Lansbury solves crimes.
I'm just here to figure out how exactly you were murdered. Who took hold of you?
I did, Angela. This is Satan.
Satan, we've met many times before. Once for breakfast at a Taco Bell. You enjoyed that breakfast chalupa, didn't you?
It was. It was quite good. I actually, the sausage, the eggs, they weren't half bad. Kind of better than McDonald's, I thought.
That's what I thought. So why? Why are you taking over this woman? Why are you making her stab an innocent man after giving him a very delicious blowjob?
Well, you know, I did the blowjob for him because I thought, you know, that'd be, you know, kind of like that. Especially to start, you know, fucking stabbing him and doing crazy shit like, and DoorDash, what's that all about? That was not in the fucking manual of satanic, you know, possession. I didn't say, order fucking firehouse subs. I said, fucking drink his blood, you dumb bitch. What the fuck went wrong with you?
Well, it wasn't me. I'm just trying to relay the message to the young woman who stabbed the man.
Well, I hope you fucking get that message across, okay? Are we good?
We are good. We are good.
Angela Lansbury returns. Murder, She Wrote. Fridays, 9, 7 Central on CBS.
And poor Angela Lansbury has to come back from beyond the grave now after this week.
I'm so sorry, my dear. I didn't mean to pass away. It's been such a long time. And to think the role I'll always be remembered for is being a fucking teapot in Beauty and the Beast. The world is a cruel, cruel place.
You're so bizarre.
Was she the teapot? What the fuck? Was she the teapot or the clock? I don't know what she even was. I don't know.
I think she was the teapot. I don't know. I don't really remember now.
You should watch the beautiful
movie. She was something in there.
I was a fucking teapot, short and stout. Here comes my handle. Here's my stout, you motherfuckers.
Angela, we salute you.
Oh, my God.
All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you
it wasn't even real, it ended up being real ghost.
Oh, it wasn't. It wasn't
Angela
even real.
Like,
what am I doing? Let's retake that. Let's I'm like totally on a different page. Here we go. Stand by.
Okay, let's cut that.
Okay. And that's gonna wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. Thank you guys for listening and keeping us on the air. We could not exist without your support. Until next time, for all of us, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
True Crime Today. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our full episodes, breaking news updates, and daily briefs from True Crime Today.